It's Wednesday, the 24th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to PJ Hairston and Eric Moreland. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and BTK Skeptic. My name is Josh Lloyd, a very festive Josh Lloyd. If you're watching along on the video, you can see that I'm dressed as Santa, as I came from work today and was dressed that way as well. So you'll see the, for those who are not watching on the video, you can see that I've got my hair and my beard dyed white, wearing a Santa hat. Got a red top on, very, very festive, getting ready for Christmas, obviously, so just stuck with me with the Santa get-up on today, and if you want to check it out, make sure you're having a look on the YouTube channel. As I mentioned, today's podcast is brought to you by Moneyball.com.au, one of Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Get across to Moneyball and enter the contest there. Obviously, there's no contest tomorrow, but get ready for the big Christmas Day games, and also, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, for one day, like BTK Skeptic, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It is very, very straightforward. It helps the podcast out immensely. You get to be a sponsor of the show. What else do you need? Very, very easy. All right, we're going to talk about the 13 games from Wednesday. I'm not doing a preview of the Christmas Day games yet because we're still over a full day away from those starting. But tomorrow, there will be a short podcast previewing those games. Now, by tomorrow, I don't really know what times I really mean, because, you know, obviously time zones are an issue. I will likely be recording it in the morning of Christmas Day here in Australia, so it'll be late on Christmas Eve in the States, and it will preview all of the Christmas Day games. So you're going to get basically one show split into two shows over 2 days. That's the way we're going to be running it now. So today's one, all we're doing is looking at a review of the games from Wednesday. Without further ado,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night is also the waiver wire line of the night. I mentioned this guy yesterday in the podcast with the injury to Darren Williams. I said a guy you need to look out for is JJ Barea, because last year when he got starts in place of Rajon Rondo, he would start and he would be really valuable. He'd put up a ton of assists and he'd get hot. Now, I didn't think he'd be this good. He played 41 minutes. He had a career-high 32 points, hit 5 triples, had 1 rebound, 11 assists, and a steal on 13 of 20 shooting. It's very unrealistic to expect him to continue to do that. There is pretty much no chance that happens. But over the course of the season, he is averaging 4 assists a game. So you know he's going to be a decent assist source as long as Williams is out. We don't really know the time frame of Darren Williams just yet. I would assume, and this is a total assumption, I would assume you're looking at 7 to 10 days at least for Williams. So a short-term out of JJ Barea seems like it's going to make sense. He's going to start, he's going to handle the ball a lot, and he's not going to be 32 and 11 very often, but he's going to be a guy who can score mid-teens and give you 6 or 7 assists on a semi-regular basis, maybe 1 or 2 triples as well. And that can be very valuable. So if you're looking for that short-term boost in assists, along with, you know, some threes and some scoring, Bray is going to have that short-term value. I mentioned him yesterday. I didn't pick him up anywhere. I didn't use him in my DFS lineup because I wasn't expecting this sort of a blow-up. But I did mention he was someone you definitely needed to keep an eye on, and you definitely need to consider owning. And now it's going to be a lot harder to grab him, and he's probably gone unless your league's got a fab auction system for free agents. Don't spend huge amounts in fab because this value is not going to last all that long. But you know, you could get 2 weeks worth of significant play out of him, and that could be enough to give you an extra 2 or 3 categorical wins maybe over that time. Maybe. I'm not saying he's the greatest player, and this is definitely the high point of his career, let alone this season, but he can be that decent assist producer. So I said he was the monstrous line of the night, and he was the waiver wire line of the night. The young gun of the night, who does that one go to?
Porzingis.
Yes, it does. Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks. He played 38 minutes. He had 23 and 13, including 4 threes, a steal, and a block, and was horribly misused by Derek Fisher in the last quarter. Barely saw the ball at all. I think he took one shot in the final quarter. He was working on a massive game. He ended up with a massive game. 23-13 with four triples, a steal, and a block is huge. But why wouldn't you ignore your best player in the last quarter? Why wouldn't you not go to him? Let's run more shots for Aaron Aflalo. Let's get him some more inefficient looks because he's an inefficient player. Just get the ball to Porzingis, Derek Fisher. You are not a very good coach at all. But Porzingis, after a significant time of being sort of a little bit quiet, it's good to see him get back and put up some big numbers. And it really galvanizes my thought on him when we look to this team and Melo is going to either be traded away or he's going to have his skills decline. And it gives you more hope that when Porzingis is the man, he's going to be really, really good because he was the man in this game. And that's a huge line, 38 minutes. He's going to be a really, really good player and a very good fantasy player moving forward. The dud of the night, Andrew Wiggins was not good. I mentioned this in yesterday's podcast as well. You didn't want anything to do with Andrew Wiggins in DFS today because he was playing Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard, after holding Paul George to 1 of 14 shooting, he held Andrew Wiggins to 2 of 11. Wiggins had 10 points, 4 assists, and racked up a grand total of 0 threes, rebounds, steals, and blocks combined, and also went 6 of 9 from the free throw line. He is currently ranked 123rd on the season. That is not good, especially for a guy that's averaging 20 points a game, which is a reasonably high amount. He just doesn't do enough in any of the other areas, and we've gone over this ad nauseum. He can probably get better, but he is that much more of a better real-life player than fantasy. Probably the biggest discrepancy in real-life versus fantasy value for any player in the league at the moment. He is not barely rosterable. He should be rostered, but he's probably one of your two or three worst players, and he's only got big value in points and a real negative in other areas. And when he gets destroyed by a guy like Kawhi, he is a massive detriment to your team. The DFS value play of the day away is also JJ Barea again, 3,500 minimum salary, put up 46.7 points. This was clearly just JJ Barea's night. I don't think there's much more we can really go on about with him. There was just obviously huge. If you happen to take that chance and get him into your daily lineup, you would have been very, very happy. All right, let's start looking at these games now in that extra detail that we like to do. I'm going to bring the box scores up on the screen for you guys watching the video. Let's get into these games and start talking about what we need to talk about. There was 13 of them in total. The first one was the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jose Calderon got his minutes back up there, played 35, went 10-3-6, had a 3, had a steal. Probably his best game in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Derek Fisher's going to muck things up often. He's going to jerk guys in and out of the lineup, in and out of minute roles. And that means that Calderon's a borderline 12-team league guy. The thing that's appealing about him is getting the assists, which can be tough to do. He's not going to really help in too many other areas, but he can be a very interesting assists guy. Robin Lopez had 3 blocks, but as per usual, one big game of 32 minutes and then back under 20 minutes. And he's probably going to do that for the next 2 or 3 games and then he'll play 30 minutes. That's exactly what Derek Fisher's done pretty much all season. I can't explain it. I wish I could get over there and get into a media scrum and go, why are you playing Robin Lopez 30 minutes in 1 out of every 4 games? What's the reasoning? Especially with Carmelo Anthony out and Kylo Quinn out. And then he played Kevin Seraphin just 5 minutes. Obviously, Porzingis played a lot of center and that's completely understandable. But I just don't understand why some nights will go with Lopez 35 minutes and some minutes will go with him. And then other games, it's all 19. Lopez is not a standard league guy for me. Aaron Aflalo was inefficient, 6 of 17, but still racked up 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. So not a terrible night from Aflalo. And Lance Thomas started in place of Melo, went 8-4 with 3 assists and a steal. And after being perfect in yesterday's game, he was 4 of 11 here. That's more in line of who Lance Thomas actually is. Langston Galloway, 4-5 in his 26 minutes, and not much else to talk about on the Knicks. For the Cavs, Kyrie Irving played 19 minutes. He's going to be limited in his playing time for a little bit here. 5 points, 4 assists. Just obviously, it's great to have him back. I've got him in the IR spot in one of my leagues. Haven't activated him yet. I don't, and I think this goes on Yahoo as well. If you've got someone in the IR spot, you can leave them there, but it allows you not to make any other transactions. So no ads, drops, no trades. While someone who is ineligible is in the IR spot. So in this league, I'm leaving Irving in that spot, maybe for a couple more games, unless I just desperately need to make an addition, which I don't feel like I do at this point. But he's someone that, obviously, it's exciting to have him back in your fantasy team. LeBron James went 24-9-5 with not a good shooting night, 9-22 and no other peripheral stats. And Kevin Love went 23-13 with a couple of threes. Iman Shumpert had a full line. Wasn't great, but it was okay. 8 points with two threes, added a steal, two blocks, and four rebounds, which helps his value a bit there. Tristan Thompson double-doubled with 10-14 in 29 minutes, but he had no other stats, and he's been basically invisible for the last couple of weeks. He's clearly only a deep league player now. Timofey Mozgov managed 14 minutes only, 6-4 for him, and J.R. Smith had 4 points, three assists, and three steals, and it's really hard to continue owning J.R. Smith, especially with Matthew Dellavedova getting more minutes than Smith on a relatively regular basis. So Smith is not someone who I think is necessarily a must hold. I'm okay with holding him, but if there's someone out there that you really love and it's hot that you want to grab, I can see moving on from Smith as being a move that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. The Boston Celtics and the Charlotte Hornets, another start for Kelly Olynyk, another big game. Shockingly, 20-9 for him, a three-pointer, two steals, 7-10 shooting. Now, he's not a 7-10 shooter from the field. That's going to come down, but he has to be owned everywhere. There is a huge chance when Amir Johnson returns from this plantar fasciitis, which we know that injury can linger, they might leave him on the bench because Olynyk and Sullinger is the best pairing in this front court. I've been saying it since the preseason. I'm going to continue to say it. Hopefully Brad Stevens realizes that. Not holding my breath, but hopefully he realizes it, and runs Sullinger 27 minutes and runs Olynyk 30 minutes and goes from there. You have to own Olynyk at this point and see exactly what plays out because his fantasy upside is tremendous. Isaiah Thomas, 18-4-7 with three threes. That's a very nice line from him. And David Lee moved back to the bench and was productive, 10-7 with two blocks. But the minutes and his usual production isn't enough to be owned in 12-team leagues. Avery Bradley got some scoring back going again, 18 points, while Jay Crowder went 19-12 in 37 minutes. And Jared Sullinger was good too, 8 points only on 4 of 12 shooting, but added 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. If only he had a decent shooting night, that would have been a very, very handy line for him. Jonas Jerebko at 9 minutes, Tyler Zeller at 12 minutes, Evan Turner at 22, and RJ Hunter at 18. That's a better distribution of the bench minutes. I really like getting all these starters big minutes. I would have liked Sullinger to get more than 24, but otherwise a really good distribution. They still do have Amir Johnson and Marcus Smart to come back, but you would hope that Amir Johnson would take Tyler Zeller and Jonas Jerebko's minutes, and you hope that Marcus Smart would take some of Evan Turner's and RJ Hunter's minutes, and then you've got a pretty nice rotation happening. For the Hornets, the last game of Al Jefferson's suspension, Cody Zeller played the biggest minutes he's played all year, 34, 7 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. And when I've talked up Cody Zeller, you might think I'm crazy, but this is the sort of thing that I think that he can do. 10 rebounds, 2 steals and a block is not fantastic, but it's ownable. The problem now is Al Jefferson returns. Zeller will probably go back to a limited bench role, especially with Frank Kaminsky going crazy in this one as well, just more competition for minutes. Kaminsky played 31 minutes, went 23-7 with two threes and a block. It's a great line from Kaminsky, but the chances of him getting 30 minutes moving forward feels pretty slim. Now, Marvin Williams has not been good because newsflash, he's not. 17 minutes for Williams, 3 points with a three, only a three, an assist and a steal, nothing else. And while I still think that he's worth holding, I would much prefer they play Zeller. I would much prefer they play Kaminsky. Now, Steve Clifford probably doesn't care what I prefer, but eventually we're going to realize that Marvin Williams isn't the guy that should be playing there. Eventually. So if there's someone that you want to make a grab on who's moving up and Williams is the worst guy you've got, I'm okay doing it. I don't see him getting better. Kemba Walker, 10-3-4, not a good night for him. And Jeremy Lin back to big minutes off the bench, which is good if you owned him. 32 minutes, 12-8 with two blocks. He was 3 of 11 from the field, so that's clearly not ideal, but you like the fact that he's just getting consistently big minutes. Jeremy Lamb chipped in with 12 points in his 19 bench minutes, and Nick Batum went 17-6-7 with three triples, so he bounced back after a bit of a quiet night in the Hornets' last game. The next game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Washington Wizards. Jeff Green had his best game of the year, 19-12 in 38 minutes, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. This is one game after he played 18 minutes. He's the streakiest of streaky players, Jeff Green. I don't think that this is going to be, you know, what we see from Jeff Green moving forward. Someone in this wing rotation is going to lose minutes each game. Last game it was Green. This game Matt Barnes played just 23 minutes to allow Tony Allen to get his 22. Maybe it's Courtney Lee that cops it next game. There's going to be some inconsistencies, and Jeff Green's basically a walking inconsistency. He's just as likely to put up 4 points in the next game, so he's not a guy that I'm sacrificing a whole lot to go and add. Mike Conley with another 20-point scoring night in 40 minutes, and Zach Randolph had 16 and 5 in 26 bench minutes. And you look at that, and that looks pretty nice. 16 points is good in 26 minutes, but I'm still not convinced that he's going to retain, you know, he's not top 100 value anyway. Marc Gasol, 11 and 6 with a couple of blocks. Courtney Lee, 8 points, 2 steals and a 3. Nothing really too exciting there. And Mario Chalmers got kicked out after playing just 5 minutes. That's why Conley played 40 minutes in this game. On to the Wizards. Still no Bradley Beal, no Otto Porter either. Gary Neal did play, but Garrett Temple, another 40 minutes for him. I think Randy Whitman's got it in his head. Whoever is the shooting guard has to play 40 minutes. Doesn't matter if they're not good. Doesn't matter if they've got leg stress fractures. Has to be 40 minutes. 40 minutes for Temple. 20 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, and an assist. I can see you could do worse than adding Garrett Temple in the standard league until Beal comes back. He's been red hot of late. He's scoring. He's hitting threes. But it all depends on who you're dropping, because Temple's value has a very defined expiry date. Jared Dudley was good again, 11 and 6, a 3 and a steal. He's definitely in consideration for 12-team leagues. 14 and 14 for John Wall with 2 threes, 5 rebounds, a steal and a block. So contributing everywhere, even negatively contributing in the field goal percentage, going 5 of 18. And Marcin Gortat he registered another double-double, 12 and 12 in his 40 minutes, but not his greatest performance. Kelly Oubre started in place of Otto Porter, but played just 20 minutes. And the Wizards ran Ramon Sessions out there a lot more, went 16, 4, and 3, did Sessions. And he's been a decent guy to pick up in 12-team leagues as well, while Beal's been out. Now, Temple's been good of late. Both those guys have got value that's probably considerable for 12-team leagues. The next game, the Houston Rockets and the Orlando Magic. The Rockets are disappointed to lose that one, I would say. 31, 3, and 7 for James Harden with a 3-pointer. And Dwight Howard went 12, and 7 with 3 blocks in his 36 minutes. The power forward conundrum, what happened there? Clint Capela played 19 minutes, went 10 and 5 with a block, so still really good per minute production. Terrence Jones played 12 minutes, 8 points and a 3, and Donatas Motiejunas played 8 minutes. Not good for a bunch of power forwards. They went small a bit here as well, as Marcus Thornton played 18 minutes and Ty Lawson played 27 minutes in his first game back from suspension, going 11, 2, and 3. I'm not taking that as a sign that Ty Lawson needs to be added, though, anywhere. Patrick Beverley, not his greatest night. 2 of 9 shooting, 7 points and a 3, 2 assists and a block. Not really, that's not good enough, but he's still someone that I'm holding on to in 12-team leagues. On to the Magic. The game was close, so we saw big minutes for all of their good players. Toby Harris, 19 and 8 in 36 minutes. Evan Fournier, in 35 minutes, went 17, 5 and 4 with 2 threes. And after that stage where he had a stretch of just being terrible, and I said, you know what, you can probably look at dropping him. Since then, he's been really good. So he deserves a place in 12-10 leagues. Hopefully you didn't drop him. Nick Vucevic, 21 and 6 with a block, a big night there. And Lord Alfred Payton was battling the ankle problem, played 32 minutes, 12 points, 9 assists, and a steal. So doing exactly what you wanted from him. A guy who didn't do what you wanted was Victor Oladipo. Yes, he played 31 minutes, but he missed all 9 of his field goal attempts. Had 7 rebounds and 6 assists, so it wasn't a complete loss. But that negative in the field goal percentage category is brutal. Channing Frye went 10 and 5 with a couple of threes in 19 minutes. He's a deeper league guy because he's getting that decent role, and he's producing pretty well in the time that he's out there at the moment. And Aaron Gordon had 2 steals and 14 points in 12 minutes. Still no CJ Watson. I don't even know if we're ever going to see CJ Watson again. It just feels like we never really get any updates, and he's just a forgotten person in Orlando. The Sacramento Kings and the Indiana Pacers. Darren Collison, revenge game. 35 minutes for Collison, 24, 4, and 5, 2 threes, and a steal. I wish he could just play 35 minutes each night. He has tremendous fantasy value. His upside is top 50 if something was to happen to Rondo. He still puts up 12-team league value regardless. DeMarcus Cousins, 25 and 16 with 3 blocks, while Rajon Rondo went 13, 8, and 16 in his 37 minutes and went 6 of 10 from the field. And Omri Caspi, after a bit of a down game, bounced back, going 15 and 11 in 41 minutes. So he is a 12-team league guy as well. Ben McLemore played just 13 minutes. They preferred to go with Marco Ballinelli, who played 21, and Rudy Gay had 19 points with a steal and a block also. Big game from George Hill, been waiting a while for that from the Pacers. 39 minutes for Hill, 24 and 5 with 3 steals and 4 triples. This is why that people ask me, do I drop George Hill? No, you don't. He does have tremendous value, and hopefully he can retain his pretty good play moving forward. Monte Ellis, 21, 2 and 6 with 3 steals, and CJ Miles got back into business again. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 triples, a steal and a block. So big nights from the Pacers, not named Paul George. Speaking of Paul George, he was bad again. 12 and 10. A 3-5 assists and 4 steals is still okay. So the counting stats are okay, but he is just brutalizing the field goal percentage. Also went 1 of 4 from the free throw line. If you weren't in a punt field goal percentage, Paul George is almost necessitating that at the moment. Throughout the last 8 games, he's a 33% shooter on 17%. That's basically you can't win that field goal percentage category if you've got Paul George on your team over the last month. You can't win it. He's down to 42% this year. He looks noticeably, not this year, on the season. He looks noticeably fatigued after his red-hot first month. This is maybe part of the leg issue coming back, the fatigue, and part of why I was not excited to take him in the second round. And I've looked really dumb by saying that so far, but things are definitely not trending in the right direction for Paul George. I'm not saying he's getting injured or anything like that, but it's like that. He went out that hard to prove people wrong that maybe there's a downturn coming. You can't, I would say sell high, but you can't at the moment because his play has not been great. The efficiency is well down. He just doesn't look quite the same guy. I think you just have to hold on. I wouldn't be buying at the value from 3 weeks ago. If someone said, oh, he's Paul George, he's a top 5 guy, give me someone good, give me Russell Westbrook, give me Chris Paul, I'd be like, no, let's hold off. In the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 81st. And I talked about this extensively yesterday, is that these slumps, when they happen during the season, people ignore them. If Paul George's first 2 weeks of the season had been these last 2 weeks and he ranked 81st, everyone would have been just panicking, much like would happen with John Wall to start the year. But it's happened now. He had a great start to the year, and he's dropped off. Now, whether he can regain himself, I think he gets better than this, but I really do fear that this is an injury repercussion sort of having an impact on his season, and it could last a while. Jordan Hill, another productive bench night, 14 and 5 on 7 of 9 shooting, also chimed in with a block as well, and Jan Mahimi had 9 and 6 with a steal and a block. Just doing little bits, nothing too spectacular, but just enough to maintain some of his fantasy value. The Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks, that's a huge win for the Mavericks to get that in overtime. They needed to get that victory. Dirk Nowitzki was great, 22, 5, and 3 with 3 triples. And Chandler Parsons played 34 minutes off the bench, 11, 7, and 8 with a 3 and a block. This is exactly what owners want to see from Parsons. He was handling the ball a lot here as well, which is something that the Mavs did talk about in the preseason, about him playing some point guard too. And he took some of that role on without Darren Williams. Ray Felton went down to 24 minutes and went 6-4 and 4. That's a little disappointing with Darren Williams out, with Devin Harris out. You would have hoped he could have got more minutes than that and more stats, but he's still someone that I'm looking to hold on to in a 12-team league if I added him. I'm not dropping him after one game. We also had Charlie Villanueva take 12 shots. Of course he did. He hit 5 of them and finished with 14 points with 2 threes. So, yeah, that's happened, and I'm not getting too worked up about Charlie Villanueva or getting too excited. Wes Matthews had 17 points, including 5 threes in his 45 minutes. Onto the Nets, another huge night from Thad Young, 29 and 10, a 3, 4 steals and a block, being a real star this year. And Bojan Bogdanović only played 26 minutes with Shane Larkin back, but got hot, had 17 points with 5 triples on 6 of 8 shooting and added 4 rebounds. But with the return of Larkin, I think Bogdanović could be, I don't think he's worth adding in a 12-team league. Jarrett Jack played 45 minutes and went 13, 5, and 8, so a bounce back from him, but still shot terribly, 4 of 14. While I mentioned that Larkin returned, he got 7 points, 4 assists in his 24 minutes. Not something I'm running to go and grab in 12-team leagues, but let's see what happens over this next week or so. Brook Lopez, 13 and 6, with a couple of blocks. The next game is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Standard that the Sixers lost by 10-plus points. Nerlens Noel moved back into the starting lineup, 11 and 5, 3 steals and a block. Bob Cove played just 25 minutes. Not terrible, but not great. 9-5, 3 steals and a couple of 3s. So a little bit to like there with him. And Jahlil Okafor, 17-8 with 2 blocks and a steal. And putrid 5 of 16 shooting for Jahlil. He's definitely sort of tapered off a little bit over recent times. The Sixers made the baffling move to start Jakar Sampson over Isaiah Cannon. Not that Cannon's a great player, but Sampson is most definitely not a great player. Sampson had 9 points in 14 minutes, while Cannon, in his 20 minutes, had 10 points and 2 threes. And Kendall Marshall returned from his rest day and moved straight back into the starting lineup. He played 24 minutes, 5 points, 7 assists, and Tony Roten sat this one out. Nick Stauskas was also a DNP CD in this game and has fallen, obviously, out of the rotation. He can fall out of your fantasy teams. Carl Landry made his season debut as well, 10-5, a steal, a block. He's clearly only a real deep league guy. It was a little bit surprising to see him come back, though, and play as many minutes as he did. On to the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 22-5-6, 2 steals, 2 blocks on 11 of 13 shooting. That's great. And Michael Carter-Williams is racking up stats at a huge rate at the moment. 18-5-9, 4 steals on 9 of 13 shooting. The 7 turnovers is not good at all, but after going to the bench, then moving back to the starting lineup, he's putting up good numbers. OJ Mayo went back to the bench here. 4 points, 4 assists in 22 minutes. I don't like this sign of that. It depends if there's someone out there who's hot that I want to grab, but he is definitely on my top of the drop list at the moment. Greg Monroe, 11-6 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Only played 25 minutes, while John Henson got his 21 minutes. Only scored 2 points, but had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 6 blocks. So that was a great return for daily fantasy people who used him at his very low salary. The next game up, the Detroit Pistons and the Atlanta Hawks. Good win for the Hawks. Marcus Morris had a better game than his last couple of duds. 22 points, 2 triples, 7 rebounds in 38 minutes. Reggie Jackson went 19-5-7, and Andre Drummond went 25-12 with 3 blocks on 7 of 18 free throws. The Hacker Drummond strategy was in full effect here. Ersan Ilyasova, not his best night. Still played 33 minutes, though, so that's encouraging. 5 points and 7 rebounds. While Stanley Johnson played 26 minutes and had just 9 points. But he's always, well, not always, he's a real watchlist sort of guy. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope only played 28 minutes because he did have a minor leg injury, and that limited his playing time. Johnson benefited a bit there, but he'd been getting minutes all over the place anyway. Still no Brandon Jennings. Onto the Hawks, big night from Jeff Teague, 23-6-9 with 4 steals. So let's check what Dennis Schroeder did. He was still productive, 20 minutes for Schroeder, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists on 5 of 12 shooting. You could do a lot worse than adding Schroeder, but he's not someone that I'm adding in standard leagues. Kent Bazemore, 8-6 with a couple of steals, a decent night, 15-4 for Horford, 18-5 for Paul Millsap, and 9 points, including a 3 for Kyle Korver. Tiago Splitter also probably had his best game for the Hawks, 11 points and 4 rebounds in 19 minutes. The Portland Trailblazers and the New Orleans Pelicans are up next. CJ McCollum did return from his injury. He pushed Tim Frazier to the bench, so McCollum was the starting point guard. 19-5-7 on some inefficient 8 of 21 shooting. Probably not as high of a performance as I would have hoped from CJ, but still a pretty decent line. Mason Plumlee was good as well, 8-12 with 2 blocks, and El-Farouq Aminu went 10-8 with 2 steals in his 22 minutes. Bit odd to see Plumlee get 23 and El-Farouq Aminu get 22 minutes here. The rotation was stretched a little bit. Gerald Henderson played 21 minutes for 11 points. Noah Vonleh went 6-6 in his 21 starting minutes, but probably the most encouraging thing is that Myers Leonard got back to 27 minutes, had 15 points and 3 threes, with 5 rebounds and a block. That's encouraging. It's not must own, but I can understand grabbing him and seeing how it plays out. Alan Crabb started and played 31 minutes, had 12 points and nothing else, and that is what he is. He's a scorer who can contribute points, and that's basically it. So his fantasy upside is quite limited. On the Pelicans, Tyreek Evans, 24-8-9, 2 threes and 2 steals, a big night from Reek. And Anthony Davis had 28-12 with a steal and 3 blocks. So big nights from those two guys. And Drew Holiday continues to rack them up off the bench. 19-2-5 with 3 threes in his 21 minutes. Really efficient. You don't need me to tell you to own Drew Holiday. Eric Gordon, on the other hand, 11-4-6 with 3 threes. Stabilized. He moved to the bench and was putrid. Back to the starting lineup and putting up those back-end numbers at the moment. And he still has to be held on to, clearly. Omer Asik has no hands, and he scored 4 points with 5 rebounds in 25 minutes. where else are we? Oh, there we go. Ryan Anderson had 13 and 6 with 3 triples in 27 minutes, and there's basically nothing else to talk about. Let's check on Norris Cole, though, who went 2 of 7. Yes, 6 and 5 for him, and a steal and a block, and continues to be one of the, not even the worst point guards in the league, one of the worst players in the NBA, in my opinion. The San Antonio Spurs and the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kawhi Leonard, in addition to shutting down Andrew Wiggins, went 19 and 6 with 3 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He is just an animal. And no offense to any other player in the NBA, if Kawhi Leonard is not the Defensive Player of the Year, he could almost stop now and be the Defensive Player of the Year. That's how well he's playing. Danny Green showed signs of life, 11 and 7 with 3 triples. Still no defensive stats, though, but shot 4 of 5 from the field, which is very, very un-2015 Danny Green-like. 14 and 6 for Tony Parker, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks for Timmy Duncan, and LaMarcus Aldridge went 12 and 8. The Spurs had this game comfortably handled, so you can see, if you're looking at the box scores, the minutes are spread all over the place. Onto the Timberwolves, Gorgui Dieng moved back to the bench with Kevin Garnett returning, but he still played 29 minutes, 12 and 6 with a block. His value remains in that top 70 to top 80 range. Zach LaVine, 24 minutes. Just give him a few more, I'd be happy, especially with Kevin Martin not playing at all as a DMP CD. LaVine had 17 points, 4 assists, and 2 steals. He's a must-own fantasy player for me. Shabazz Muhammad was also pretty good. He was probably the main beneficiary of Kevin Martin sitting. 21 minutes for Muhammad, 15 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. He's not someone that I'm looking at adding, though. And we saw Tyus Jones back into the rotation. He played 20 minutes here, 6 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He's a real deep league guy to me, but I can see him carving out an 18-minute role by the end of the season, as he is strictly the backup point guard and LaVine plays strictly at the 2. That is the best way for this team to work things out. Karl Anthony Towns, 10 and 11 in 34 minutes and not much else. Just 1 assist else. That's also nothing to really write home about with him. And Tayshaun Prince, taking the art of doing nothing to a new level. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist in his 20 minutes. The next game we take a look at is, where are we? The Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns. Ooh, geez. Look at that Denver starting lineup. Randy Foy, Gary Harris, Mike Miller, Kostas Papanikolaou, and Kenneth Faried. So you hear Jimmy Nelson was out with an illness, Moutier out with his ankle, Gallinari out with his ankle. When you hear that Joffrey Lavernier is going to the bench, you go, okay, Jokic back in the starting lineup. Nah, let's not do that. Let's start Kostas Papanikolaou at the 4 and Kenneth Faried at the 5. Cool. Papanikolaou had a Richie Beno, actually, a double-triple-one. 2 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks with 9 points and 5 rebounds. But just give Jokic the minutes at center. This was just a messed up lineup for the Nuggets. Randy Foy had 7 triples, including 31 points and 6 assists in the spot point guard start. Will Barton went 17, 9, and 5 with 3 threes. Darrell Arthur went 19 and 10 with 2 blocks and a 3. Seriously, these players. Nikola Jokic, 13 and 9 with a 3. Mike Miller couldn't join in. 0 points in his 18 minutes with 6 rebounds. And Gary Harris had a real stinker as well. Took 13 shots, which is encouraging, but only 2 of 13 for 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. There is basically nothing we can really get out of looking at this game because it's such a weird rotation and such a weird situation with so many injuries. But on a team that was that busted up, they still traveled on the road to Phoenix and still beat the Phoenix Suns. And I said yesterday I wasn't sure if Jeff Hornacek was a good coach. I'm pretty convinced he's not at the moment, to be honest. He just doesn't seem to know what he's doing. Don't make a lineup change. We're going to experiment with something. We're going to put Devin Booker in. We're going to put TJ Warren in. The next game, change it again completely. If you're going to try something, try it. Let it stick. They made the move in this one to put Brandon Knight back into the starting lineup, and then they moved Alex Len in as the starting center over Tyson Chandler, and then they played him 9 minutes. They played Tyson Chandler 10 minutes. They went real small, much like the Nuggets did. Played Markieff Morris 12 minutes. John Lua got back to 29 minutes, went 18 and 10. Just so much confusion on the Suns. We don't know what is going to happen with this team on a nightly basis. It's really hard to. You can't own Tyson Chandler in a standard league. Alex Len has upside, but there are going to be nights like this when he gets Hornacek'd. That's going to happen. John Lua had been drop worthy up until this game, but that could change at any time. And then Ronnie Price played 30 minutes. Yeah. 20 points for Ronnie Price, 6 threes. Yes, he was red hot, 4 rebounds and an assist. But you know who didn't play? Devin Booker at all. Did not play. Why is Ronnie Price getting 30 minutes when you've got two other point guards? Brandon Knight played 41 minutes. Eric Bledsoe played 40 minutes. Let's make sure we can squeeze 30 minutes out of Ronnie Price. I know he got hot, but he shouldn't have even been given an opportunity to get hot. Play Archie Goodwin. What have you got from Archie Goodwin? You don't even know because you haven't played him for 2 years. Play Devin Booker. Play TJ Warren more than 24 minutes. Run a friggin' center out there for more than 9 minutes. You know what? The Nuggets didn't have a center out there. So you know what you can do? Dominate them with a center. You think Kenneth Reed could stop Alex Len? I don't like Kenneth Reed. He's not a good player. Have some trust, have some faith in a guy like Len who can actually put up big lines. Just because another team goes small, you don't necessarily have to go small with them. And if going small, it means including Ronnie Price in three-point guard lineups, it's just it's definitely not what you want Santa to bring you if you follow the Suns. Hopefully we won't see more of this from Ronnie Price moving forward. As for what to do with these guys, John Lua, look, if you dropped him, don't worry too much. If you've owned him, you obviously hold from there. TJ Warren's not a 12-team league guy, I don't think, for me. PJ Tucker had 13 boards. He's not one. Alex Len, he's going to get dicked around like this a lot. I'd be okay moving on from him. Tyson Chandler has no spot in that sort of league either. Nor does Markeith Morris, who had 6 points in 12 minutes. The next game of the night is the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors. Pretty easy victory for the Warriors. Another big game from Rod Hood. I just like calling him Rod Hood. Rod. 15 points, 3 threes, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists in 37 minutes. So he's in a real hot streak. He's a clear must-own player. While Alec Burks is still struggling. 13 points in 27 minutes. He's not a must-own, especially in a 10-team league. Gordon Hayward looked like he had a case of being guarded by Kawhi Leonard, even though he wasn't playing against the Spurs. 8-8 on 2 of 13 shooting. Give him a pass for one bad game. And not much else to really talk about. We can talk Derek Favors, who went 17-9 with 2 blocks, but that's sort of a standard game from him. And Trey Burke got up to 28 minutes here and had 13 points with a couple of steals, but he's more of a 14-team league guy at the moment. The Warriors players, not really big nights. Steph, 16-5-9 with 3 steals. Draymond, 15-9-6 with a steal and 2 blocks. And Andrew Bogut, who was a little bit doubtful to play with a back issue, played 27 minutes and went 10-13 with 4 assists. So that's great from Bogut, but I wouldn't imagine 27 minutes coming his way too often this season. Klay Thompson also couldn't get his shot going. 6 of 16 for 20 points and 3 threes. Not his greatest night. And Andre Iguodala had just 9 points and 2 steals in his 29 minutes. He's still a borderline 12-team league guy for me. Festus Ezeli chimed in with 4 blocks in his 15 minutes, and he has a very specific sort of skill set that suits certain teams and not others in the fantasy world. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, this is what I was worried about for DFS purposes for the Thunder players. It was a smashing, 27 minutes for Durant, 30 minutes for Westbrook, but they still put up big numbers. 21-7-5 for Durant, a 3 and 3 blocks, while Westbrook went 23-8-8 and 2 steals. But if they had played 36 minutes, they would have been all over. They would have been the two highest scoring guys of the night. Andre Roberson had his best game probably ever. 15-7, 2 steals, 4 blocks on 7 of 9 shooting. Do not anticipate that happening again. Enes Kanter, 16-11 with 2 blocks in 22 minutes. Don't anticipate the 2 blocks happening for him again, but we've seen he's basically a double-double even in a bench role. And, yeah, not much to really love here. Dion Waiters played just 16 minutes with Andre Roberson getting hot, and there's nothing to really get too excited about in this sort of a blowout. Julius Randle sat this one out with his ankle problem, and Nick Young was ill with gastroenteritis. So Jordan Clarkson played 31 minutes, went 10-6 with 2 steals. D'Angelo Russell, 18 points, 4 triples in his 28 minutes. So good to see his minutes getting back up there. And after I thought we'd seen Robert Sacre at the end of him, he played 27 minutes. 10-6 for Sacre, a steal and 2 blocks. You know who this team has and they don't play? Tariq Black. Play Tariq Black. You know what? You might have something, Tariq Black. I've seen Robert Sacre. I know he's not good. Stop playing him. Kobe Bryant. Back to inefficient Kobe here, 7 of 22, 19 points with 2 threes and 3 assists, but still relatively handy. Roy Hibbert, basically a piece of poo at the moment, 4 points in 22 minutes. And Larry Nance, even as the starter, even with Julius Randle out, let's give Larry Nance 20 minutes. This was the opportunity. Let's play Larry Nance and get him out there for 30 minutes and see what he can do. But nah, we've got to make sure we give our 27 minutes to Sacred Bob. Larry Nance can obviously not be worried about in standard leagues. And Lou Williams had an absolute shocker. 2 points in 25 minutes on 0 of 6 shooting. He's still someone that I think that you should hang on to in 12-team leagues. All right, guys, that does it for today's podcast. As I mentioned, we're not doing any DFS previews for Christmas. That will be in the next episode, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on YouTube and leave a review. It can be your Christmas present to me. Yeah, that's it. If you want to give me a Christmas present, leave a review on iTunes. That would be great. You know how much I appreciate it. I hope everyone who is in Australia, who Christmas is tomorrow, or even in the Southern Hemisphere or in this time zone, who Christmas is tomorrow, Merry Christmas to you and your families if you celebrate it. I'll be back tomorrow on Christmas Day here to preview the Christmas Day games, to speak to the guys in the States, and wish you guys a very happy holiday season. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.